वासुदेवाय शीर्णमस्तको मुखान् पाद्मम् रोधिरम् अपस्मृतो सुरः आरवम् यशोपकथत् समीरयन् गिरीर्यथा भगवतः आयुधा कथा. Translation: thus smashed by Balaram's fist, Pralamba's head immediately cracked open. The demon vomited blood from his mouth and lost all consciousness, and then, with a great noise, he fell lifeless on the ground, like a mountain devastated by Indra. I'll just keep reading to you on some reports. Text number 30. The cowherd boys were most astonished to see the powerful Balaram had killed the demon Pralamba, and they exclaimed, "Excellent! Excellent! Sadhu, sadhu." They offered Balaram profuse benedictions and then glorified him who deserves all glorification. Their minds, overwhelmed with ecstatic love, they embraced him as if he had come back from the dead. The sinful Pralamba having been killed, the demigods felt extremely happy, and they showered flower garlands, not just flowers, they showered flower garlands upon Lord Balaram and praised the excellence of his deeds. Sadhu, sadhu, iti. End of the chapter. Chapter 19, Swallowing the Forest Fire. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna saved the cows and the cowherd boys from a great fire in the Munjaranya forest. Paragraph. One day, the cowherd boys became absorbed in sporting and allowed the cows to wander into the dense forest. Suddenly a forest fire blazed up, and to escape its flames, the cows took refuge in a grove of sharp canes. When the cowherd boys missed their animals, they went searching for them, following their hoof prints and the trail of blades of grass and other plants they had trampled or had broken with their teeth. Finally, the boys found the cows and removed them from the cane forest. But by that time the forest fire had grown strong and was threatening both the boys and the cows. Thus the cowherd boys took shelter of Krishna, the master of all mystic power, who told them to close their eyes. Is this showing on the screen here? Okay. They did so. And in a moment, he had swallowed up the fierce forest fire and brought them all back to the Bandira tree mentioned in the last chapter. Seeing this wonderful display of mystic potency, the cowherd boys thought, "Krishna must be a demigod," and they began to praise him. Then they all returned home. one Shukadeva Goswami said, while the cowherd boys were completely absorbed in playing, their cows wandered far away. They hungered for more grass, and with no one to watch them, they entered a dark forest, a dense forest. Passing from one part of the great forest to another, the goats, cows, and buffalo eventually entered an area overgrown with sharp canes. The heat of a nearby forest fire made them thirsty, and they cried out in distress. Not seeing the cows before them, Krishna, Ram, and their cowherd friends suddenly felt repentant for having neglected them. The boys searched all around but could not discover where they had gone. Then the boys began tracing out the cows' path by noting their hoof prints and the blades of grass the cows had broken with their hooves and teeth. All the cowherd boys were in great anxiety because they had lost their source of livelihood. Within the Munja forest, the cowherd boys finally found their valuable cows, who had lost their way and were crying. Then the boys, thirsty and tired, herded the cows onto the path back home. Supreme Personality of Godhead called out to the animals in a voice that resounded like a rumbling cloud. Hearing the sound of their own names, the cows were overjoyed and called out to the Lord in reply. Suddenly, a great forest fire appeared on all sides, threatening to destroy all the forest creatures, like a chariot driver. The wind swept the fire onward, and terrible sparks shot in all directions. Indeed, the great fire extended its tongues of flame toward all moving and non-moving creatures. Report just as Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys were about to take their cows back home, the forest fire, previously mentioned, raged out of control and surrounded all of them. Text 8, as the cows and cowherd boys stared at the forest fire attacking them on all sides, they became fearful. The boys then approached Krishna and Balaram for shelter, just as those who are disturbed by fear of death approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The boys addressed them as follows. The cowherd boys said, O Krishna, Krishna, most powerful one, O Rama, you whose prowess never fails, please save your devotees who are about to be burned by the forest fire and have come to take shelter of you. Krishna, certainly your own friends shouldn't be destroyed. O knower of the nature of all things, we have accepted you as our Lord, and we are souls surrendered unto you. Shukadeva Goswami said, hearing these pitiful words from his friends, the Supreme Lord Krishna told them, just close your eyes and don't be afraid. Purport. This verse clearly reveals the simple, sublime relationship between Krishna and his pure devotees. The Absolute Truth, the Supreme Almighty Lord, is actually a young, blissful cowherd boy named Krishna. God is youthful, and his mentality is playful. When he saw that his beloved friends were terrified of the forest fire, he simply told them, to close their eyes and not be afraid. Then Lord Krishna acted as described in the next verse. It's almost the end of the chapter. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter. "All right," the boys replied, and immediately closed their eyes. Then the Supreme Lord, the master of all mystic power, opened his mouth and swallowed the terrible fire, saving his friends from danger. Verse 1. The coward boys were suffering from extreme fatigue, hunger, and thirst, and were about to be consumed by a horrible forest fire. All this is indicated here by the word Kritshrat. Kritshrat means from the danger. The coward boys opened their eyes and were amazed to find not only that they and the cows had been saved from the terrible fire, but they had been all brought back to the Angira tree. When the coward boys saw that they had been saved from the forest fire by the Lord, by the Lord's mystic power, which is manifested by his internal potency, they began to think that Krishna must be a demigod. Purport, the coward boys of Vrindavan simply loved Krishna as their only friend and exclusive object of devotion. To increase their ecstasy, Krishna displayed to them his mystic potency and saved them from a terrible fire. The coward boys could never give up the ecstatic loving relationship with Krishna. Therefore, rather than considering Krishna to be God, after they saw his extraordinary power, they thought that perhaps he was a demigod. But since Lord Krishna was their beloved friend, they were on the same level with him, and thus they thought that they too must be demigods. In this way, Krishna's coward friends became overwhelmed with ecstasy. 2 more verses. It was now late in the afternoon, and Lord Krishna, accompanied by Balaram, turned the cows back toward home. Playing his flute in a special way, Krishna returned to the coward village in the company of his coward friends who chanted his glories. The young gopis took the greatest pleasure in seeing Govinda come home, since for them, even a moment without his association seemed like 100 ages. Shanam yuga shatam eva yasam yena vina bhavet. Shanam means a moment, and yuga shatam means 100 millenniums. Purport, after saving the coward boys from the blazing forest fire, Krishna saved the coward girls from the blazing fire of separation from him. The gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, have the greatest love for Krishna, and even a single moment's separation from him seems like millions of years to them. The gopis are the greatest devotees of God, and their specific pastimes with Krishna will be described later in this work. Thus end the purports to this 19th chapter. Okay, so we recited together the verse from chapter 18, text 29. Prahlada's head getting cracked open by the fist of Balaram. the swallowing of the forest fire, the way that the introduction to the forest fire chapter begins makes it sound like the two events are by time separated. You know, one day, the cowherd boys became absorbed in sporting. But apparently, from the pastime itself, the two events are closely connected because the place where Pralambha had assumed the form of a cowherd boy and was pretending as if he was one of them, and their sporting event, etc., etc., all took place at the Bandira tree, or Bandira Van, is a place in Vrindavan. Many of us have been there. Bandira Van, where the killing of the Pralambha demon took place. And apparently Krishna liked that place very much, because after saving the cows and the cowherd boys from the blazing forest fire, he transported them back to the Bandira Van, the Bandira forest. So the two pastimes are connected in some way. There are, in the 10th canto, there are two pastimes where there's swallowing of a forest fire. This is forest fire number two. Forest fire number one took place earlier when the pastime of Krishna subduing Kaliya, and that pastime took all day long. And so at the end of the day, Nanda Maharaj was there, and Mother Jasoda was there, and all the residents of Nandagram were there. The whole of Braja practically was there because Krishna was in danger and everyone was concerned. So at the end of the day, Krishna suggested, because the river Jamuna is our shelter and our source of inspiration, and for us is worshipable, since we're here, it's such a long distance back to Nandagram, let's take rest here by the banks of the river Jamuna. So Krishna made this suggestion, everyone said, yay, let's take rest by the river Jamuna. So they did. And that night, in the middle of the night, was forest fire number one. And Krishna repeated the same instruction. Close your eyes. You're in for a big surprise. So they closed their eyes. Krishna withdrew the forest fire. It specifically says he swallowed. How do you swallow fire? What to speak of a forest fire? Well, the answer is given in the very nice reference in the Shruti mantras that says the original spiritual form of Bhagavan within has unlimited potency. It's a different verse than the the Supreme Personality of Godhead has unlimited and inconceivable potencies. Anyway, that's a different verse where the meaning is that the forest fire itself was manifested by Krishna because he has inconceivable potencies. For purposes of pastime, he manifested these fires. And for purposes of pastime, he then withdrew his own potency. So he can withdraw his own potency without swallowing it. He can just manifest it and withdraw it because it's under his control. Just like Krishna is manifesting various forms. When those forms are withdrawn, they don't have to go anywhere. They're just manifest and withdrawn. Or the whole of the material creation. They're manifest. The whole material creation is manifest and then withdrawn. And that he does through the pores of his body. He doesn't need any methodology at all. He can just do whatever he likes. Can manifest things and withdraw things. So the external energy is like that. It's illusory. It's illusory potency. It's made of different elements. We know from Bhagavad Gita, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, and by mixing them in different combinations, Krishna makes everything of this world appear to be something. It appears to be a table, it appears to be a monitor, it appears to be a light fixture in the ceiling, it appears to be the carpet and the marble floor, it appears to be things. And it's just a temporary combination of material elements which Krishna manifests and Krishna rearranges, Krishna withdraws. So our, well, you know, just go to the classic question, is it a rope or is it a snake? You all know that one. There's something wiggly on the floor and it's motionless, but is it a rope or is it a snake? And the absolute sense of something is to see that something in terms of how Krishna sees that something. And that's what it is. And one can know whether it's a rope or a snake or whatever it is based upon that absolute authority. So the illusory potency is neither this nor that. It's Krishna's illusory potency. It's not, you know, a tree or a light fixture or a table or a floor. Although conventionally we use those terms. It's Krishna's external potency. So for pastime purposes, his internal potency can act to manifest whatever he likes, including the demons that Krishna kills, and then he kills them. And it looks like a very fearful circumstance. Here comes Rishtasura, galloping down the road with his tail raised in the air and his horns tilted. Oh, very fearful. The whole earth is shaking. Very fearful. But it's Krishna's own potency. So Krishna dismisses Rishtasura and whatever it is that he wishes. By his inconceivable potency. It's simply his own potency. When in the forest fire lila, that there's a very nice sequence that the boys were just playing. The earlier forest fire they weren't playing, it was just Krishna made a forest fire. But in this case, they were so absorbed in playing, they were not paying attention to the cows. There's other leelas. In the previous leela with Prolambo, when the boys were engaged in wrestling, and you know, the winners and the losers, and they're carrying on their backs and all of that. Another group of cowherd boys were looking after the cows, because it was their, the verse is saying it's their livelihood, but even more, it's their love and affection for the cows. Krishna loves the cows. How can you be inattentive to those who you love? Krishna loves the cows. But it's pastime. So they were so absorbed in playing that they didn't even notice. And those that have seen the movements of cows, they go wherever they want to go. You have to be, the cow herds have to be very attentive to what's going on with the cows. So they wanted fresh grasses and they started wandering, and then here comes this heat of a forest fire. So they were feeling the heat of the forest fire, so they went to take shelter in a grove where they could get some shelter. Then they were lost. The heat was making them very thirsty. Krishna. And hearing the sound, where are they? So they felt very regretful. They had been inattentive, so much absorbed in their playing. They didn't even notice the cows. So they found the cows. They brought the cows out of the cane forest. And then started heading home. But that same fire increased. So that this little section where Krishna says, just close your eyes. And immediately they think, okay, we'll just close our eyes. Like, okay, forest fire is going to go away because you close your eyes. But they had so much trust in Krishna. Our commentators explain. They were thinking, Krishna, he's the master of so many, he knows so many mantras and so much magic, and he can do so many things. But he don't show magic, the secrets to your magic to anybody and everybody. He needed a little privacy. So he's just asking us to close his eyes so he can do his magic and say his mantras. So we'll close our eyes. And Krishna was thinking, if the cowherd boys see me swallow this fire, they'll think that I'm in danger by swallowing this fire. And they'll be in great anxiety. So I don't want them to be in great anxiety. So I'll ask them to close their eyes. And another explanation that's given is that the cowherd boys had a practice of every day when they returned back home after herding the cows, their parents, the adults, would naturally want to inquire about Krishna. So they would tell everything that Krishna did. Oh, Krishna's so wonderful. Today he did this and today he did that. So when the cowherd boys would narrate that Krishna swallowed a fire, Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj would be in too much anxiety. So Krishna didn't want Nanda and Jasoda to be in anxiety. That Krishna swallowed the fire. It's enough that there's a fire. But Krishna swallowed the fire. That would disturb them too much. So he had them close their eyes. Sanatana Goswami, in his commentary on this section, he suggests maybe the fire was a manifestation of a friend of Pralamba. Because Pralamba had just been killed, so he'd get back Pralamba. Not that the friend of Pralamba had caused the fire, but the fire was a manifestation of his friend. The Krishna is the master. He's not addressed by the cowherd boys as the master of mystic yoga, but Shukadeva Goswami does. Yogeshwara. Because a yogi may manifest some power, and that power that the yogi manifests, this is discussed in Nectar Devotion, the siddhis of mystic yoga, they're nothing but subtle forms of the same thing, material things that materialists also try to accomplish. And Prabhupada goes through it in Nectar Devotion. Mahima, Lagima, Anima. Flying in the air, becoming very small, becoming very big, creating something, sending in space. All these things are done by, those propensities that material scientists have, or that people have, and they try to fulfill them through science. It's simply, it's a material activity that can also be accomplished through yoga, or mysticism through mystic cities. And all of those mystic cities have their origin, and that's Krishna. So anything that a mystic can do is peanuts compared to what Krishna can do. So he's Yogeshwara, he's the master of all mystic arts. And the cowherd boys, they don't see him as Yogeshwara. They see him as their dear friend who's just like really cool. He's really, he can do so many neat things. But when the forest fire disappeared, and when they opened their eyes and they were in another place, transported to another place, and it wasn't a movie, it was, it happened. They thought, wow, he must be a demigod. A similar thing happens with Nanda Maharaj. One time, when Nanda Maharaj was breaking the Ekadasi fast on Dwadasi morning by taking his bath in the river Jamuna, he had timed it right. When you break the fast, it's important. It's within a certain interval of time. And he had timed it right. But the servants of Varuna thought, he's violating the scripture. He's entering the river Jamuna at the wrong time. So they captured him, kidnapped him, and took him away to the abode of Varuna. And so when Nanda Maharaj was missing, the king of the cowherds was missing, everyone was in big anxiety. So what is everybody doing with big anxiety in Vrindavan? Krishna! So Krishna and Balaram went searching for Nanda Maharaj. They went to the place by the river Jamuna. They entered in the river Jamuna. They went to the abode of Varuna. And there they saw Nanda Maharaj by the side of the throne of Varuna. And when Varuna saw Krishna and Balaram, he immediately got off his throne and began worshipping them with celestial opulence. Nanda Maharaj is sitting right there watching his son being worshipped. Whoa! What's going on? So Krishna requested Nanda Maharaj to Varuna, please return my father. He was profusely apologetic that Nanda Maharaj had to be inconvenienced in this way. Krishna inconvenienced in this way. profuse apology from Varuna and Nanda Maharaj was taken back to Vrindavan. When Nanda Maharaj went back to Vrindavan, he was recounting what had happened. And the most amazing thing, not just that he had been taken to the abode of Varuna, but and Krishna came there too. Krishna was being worshipped. So he started speculating, who is this son of mine? Maybe. This sometimes goes on in Vrindavan, speculation. But they don't reach the conclusion that he's the personality of Godhead, because it would too much disturb their devotion. It just can't enter. Somehow he's something special. By Krishna's yoga maya potency, that window of speculation closes and they just forget everything and carry on. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that forgetting everything phenomena is described in relation to Krishna's pastime of leaving Vrindavan and going to Mathura on the chariot of Akura. Because the mood of separation from Krishna is a very important feature in intensifying feelings of love. We may feel separation from Krishna in a very different way. You know, we're trying to chant. And somehow, Krishna is so far away, although he's very near. We're feeling... And in very advanced stage, there's genuine connection with Krishna and attachment to Krishna. But feelings of separation intensify the attachment. So Krishna arranges pastimes where there is some feeling of separation from him. I forget where I was going with all of this. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it describes that when Krishna went to Mathura, before going, he made a promise. Very soon I'll return. And that promise sustained the lives of the residents of Vrindavan. According to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, periodically Krishna returns. And then, in the presence of Krishna, they forget completely that Krishna had gone. They become so overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna, they forget the whole thing. And then Akura comes again to take Krishna to Mathura. The whole pastime is reenacted again. And they forget that that pastime happened before and is happening again and happens again and again and again. Because the pastime of feelings of separation from Krishna are so, they so much intensify the feelings of love, they become overwhelmed with those feelings of love and separation. Anyway, this is how Sanatana Goswami composes Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Very mystical. So an important component of this pastime also is the feelings of separation of the gopis. When Krishna returns, he puts out the fire of their separation, the fire of separation, the blazing fire of separation from Krishna. Because one moment separation from Krishna, which is speak of a whole day, seems like millions of years. What's our experience of that like? Maybe you're waiting for a bus. It's taking a long time. Or you're waiting for someone to complete an appointment and they're late. Or maybe, you know, you have to catch a flight and you're late. And every moment that passes seems like forever. You're stuck in traffic or something. Something that's very important to you. Time passes very slowly. So, with deep attachment for Krishna, their feeling of separation from Krishna intensifies their love. There's a description that the coward boys, they're also, not only the gopis are so attached to Krishna that a moment separation from Krishna is unbearable. The coward boys too. It's described that when they go through the forest, sometimes Krishna's over here, they're over here, and Krishna keeps walking and there's a tree that's in the way, they can't see Krishna. And for that short stretch of moments when they can't see Krishna, the separation from Krishna intensifies one's feelings of love. It's as it is true in the material separation. The acharyas give this example. A pauper somehow gets some great wealth. He feels such relief, I've been in such an impoverished condition, and then he loses it. It's worse than not having it, having it and losing it. Not having it, having it, then losing it. So the feelings of love for Krishna are awakened when we have no material shelter, akinchana, but merely with no material shelter. Inspiring one to take full shelter in Krishna, and then the feelings of separation intensify those feelings of love. So it's a very important element in the science of rasa, feelings of separation. It's not something we should artificially pump up and pretend for something. But in the science of rasa, it's important as we become attached, asakti, in a purified condition of heart. When we become attached to the process of devotional service and attached even further to the object of devotion, and when that attachment becomes strong, feelings of separation may also enter. Either the anticipation that Krishna may go, or our contact with Krishna may escape us. Or by Krishna's in higher stages, when Krishna makes some arrangement that it appears that he's gone. That's his yogamaya potency. Now it's mahamaya potency. So the dangers that we experience of material circumstances of life, it's the illusory potency. Our intense feelings are rooted in illusion, the bodily conception, and some danger may come to my body, and so on. And that's just a reflection, a very dim and distorted reflection of the real thing of what we just read. The feelings of separation and complete attachment of the residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, mentions goats, the gopis, their intense feelings of love for Krishna are being displayed through pastime and heightened through pastime. Okay, so it's 9:05. I'll end here and see if there's some discussion or questions. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah.